It is indeed an honor for me to be able to be here on this day to share with you the opportunity to be able to celebrate what has been accomplished by the brethren here over a period of years that culminates in the construction and the completion of this building. I extend a warm welcome to each and every one who has come. We have many from various congregations throughout this area. We're glad that you have purposed in your heart to come and be with us today. We hope that you've enjoyed the singing. I think it's a terrible thing to put the preaching after an hour's worth of singing. I wasn't able just to let loose like I would have liked to in the singing, but it was absolutely beautiful. What a day to remember in terms of the history of this congregation and all the work that has been done to bring us to this point in time. I actually want to say some things in regards to the work and some of the history of this particular work that I'm aware of, individuals who have helped to bring this day about. And then I want to center our minds and our hearts on a passage of Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 61. In getting into some of the comments today, I'm especially glad that my family is able to be here. We began our family here in New Lexington, Ohio. My wife and I were married January the 7th, 1978, and we took the work here. And you talk about being naive or maybe living on love or whatever you want to call it. We had it, and we got married and took a full-time work. But the brethren here at New Lexington supported us in every way. And we were able to overcome obstacles early on. And it took a while, of course, to develop and to grow over time. But we were able to do that with God's help and with His strength. And so then through the period of time that I was here, we really focused on three phases that we wanted to accomplish. The very first thing was, of course, to get a preacher here. And I remember Sister Iva Chute saw the ad that I placed in the Gospel Advocate. I believe that she contacted Brother Bill Jones, who's here today, and Bill contacted me, and we made the arrangements, and of course, were able to come, and we appreciated that. I always wanted to go somewhere where I was wanted, and this congregation wanted me. I don't know why. I was young and green and everything else, but they did, and we appreciated that. And so then we were able to have a beginning together. From that particular time to this, a lot of water has gone under the bridge. But the first thing, of course, was to get a preacher. And then the second thing was to keep him here. And so we actually purchased a home for the preacher where I think Delbert and Betty reside at this particular time. And I think that that was also a good thing, a worthwhile thing. We always have some trepidation when we undertake these new ventures as the people of God. But it's an interesting thing that we were able to accomplish the things that we set our minds to. And so when we purchased the house, we didn't know how long it was going to take to actually pay for it. But we paid for it in 3 years with God's help and the spirit and cooperation of the brethren. And that was a wonderful accomplishment for us as well. And so then we went on, I think, as I was thinking of the work in terms of another phase, which would be phase three, and that is to have a new building. It had been the desire of the brethren at New Lexington to have a new facility for many, many years. As a matter of fact, we had individuals who would have liked to have had a new building during their lifetime. Some of them deceased today and not able to be with us, who yet by faith saw down the road and made plans and helped us to establish a goal in the hearts of each and every individual who was a part of the congregation. From that time forth, that goal was one that was sort of the long-term goal. And as we were working toward each one of these various phases, as we saw in terms of the development of the work, we did not forget the primary reason for our existence, and that is to take the gospel into all the world. And there are individuals here in this audience today that I have baptized into Christ, and that gives me a warm feeling. I'm glad that you're here, still a part of the congregation, still working, still helping to pull the load along, and I'm thankful for that. Others whom we have preached to encourage and to edify all along the way, that we might be able to build up the cause of Christ in this place. And so this congregation stands here as a testimony to all of the effort that has gone before in the years and the labor and so forth that it has taken to bring us to this point. I want to say to you today that I believe that dreams do come true. And this is one of the things that in terms of God's people, we know that we have to establish goals, and we need long-term goals and short-term goals. And then we have to develop a plan in order to be able to accomplish that. And in order to accomplish this goal, we know that there were savings plans, the purchase of the property, and all of the details that are involved in that. I could tell you so many stories today because of having lived this, and I know that you, Deborah's limited me to 10 minutes, and I'm going to take more than that, so sit back and relax. But I do want to say some things. Lucille Dadasvich, who is now deceased, and I was showing the film strip series, a visualized Bible study series by Jewel Miller to her husband, Charles. I don't see him here today. I didn't see him when we assembled. But nonetheless, she was sitting in her living room, and as we were discussing and just having conversation, she mentioned this piece of property. She mentioned this farm, and she said one day she would like to see the church located right here. At that time, we had no idea that we could even acquire this piece of property, but she was thinking about those kinds of things. Others among the Lindemuth family also were concerned about acquisition of property and then going ahead with the building of the building. And of course, Marvin Lindemuth, who is here today, was instrumental in helping to work with us that we might be able to buy this property. We bought it at auction, actually, a farm auction, and it worked out so that we were able to secure the property here, and we knew that we would have a good location someday to build a building. Well, of course, I left before that was brought into fruition, and George Hagerman followed me, and then Brother Delbert McKenzie and Betty, who are working with you now as the full-time preacher here, was able to bring about the situation and circumstances such as you're able to have the building today. And of course, when you're thinking about developing a plan and working your plan, there are many special individuals that are important. I've mentioned some of them today. I'm not going to be able to mention everybody, but I do want to recognize a special person who's shown all of us what the spirit of generous sharing can do. Sister Gladys Hawk is with us today, and I don't know if she's the oldest person here in the audience today, but she's got to be pretty close. And we want to especially recognize Gladys today and her large part in making this dream come true. The goodness of her heart and the willingness to use the material blessings of this life to further the cause of Christ has not gone unnoticed, and nor will it be forgotten. As new generations come and use these facilities, they must not forget that they are building upon the sacrifices of those who have gone before them. In that sense, we all owe a debt of thanks to the former members of this congregation, even those who are now deceased, who would have loved to see this day in their own lifetimes, but seeing it afar off helped to make it possible. We remember them today, and we remember them with warmth, and we remember them in terms of the goal and helping us to reach this particular goal in terms of seeing this building completed. Hard work and diligent effort is required by the whole membership. It's not just one or two people, and indeed it takes all of us working together. And in that, I was thinking as I was going to present the message today, was I a visitor, was I a guest, or do I consider myself to be a part of this congregation and the effort that's been made here? And of course, the real resolution of this is the fact that we're all one in Christ Jesus. And there's a fellowship, a camaraderie, a love of the brotherhood that flows from heart to heart, that binds us all together. And that's what makes something like this possible, brethren. And we rejoice today in our time of celebration and being able to enjoy this facility and the wonderful opportunity to worship God here and to magnify and praise His high and holy name, to meditate upon His Word, and to recommit ourselves to the cause of Christ. We do all of those things as we come together in this sense of unity. Singing is one of the greatest forms and illustrations of the unity that we have as the people of God. We're blending voice with voice and heart with heart, so that in that blending it forms one complete whole, indeed a symphony that goes up before the throne of God to magnify His high and holy name. The building, of course, is not an end in and of itself. The building is a means to an end. It is a tool to be used. And God has ordained that those who are His people be involved in the work of evangelism, in the work of edification, and in the work of benevolence. And in the accomplishment of that work, we do dedicate this building today, that as the people of God, the spiritual people of God, that we would stand forth as a light to this community, set upon a hill where all can see it, that we would be able to let our influence to do all that we can to spread the gospel in this area. And we trust then in that way that you will understand that you have a solemn charge, as Delbert had mentioned just a few minutes ago, that your work is not done. And I know Bill Starling's put a lot of time in on this building, been here about every single day watching over things and kind of making sure that the construction people stay on schedule, and Delbert and them have the same kind of concern. But the fact of the matter is that as this particular phase comes to an end, it actually enjoins upon you a greater work in terms of serving God. You have an opportunity to use this facility in every right way and in every good way to glorify God, to carry out His work and His will upon the earth. And we do that by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We unleash the power of God's word, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the only power that God has to save men. And we unleash it into the hearts and lives of men and women through the proclamation, the preaching of His Word. And so it is in this building that God's Word will be preached and proclaimed, that God's Word will be studied, and that God's Word will be learned, and that there will be those whose hearts will be good and honest, who will come to a full understanding of what God has said, and they will obey the gospel and become a part of the people of God, the spiritual body of Christ at this place. And so it is that we dedicate this building to the work of evangelism. We dedicate this building to the work of edification. For it is here that God will be glorified. It is here that in the hymns that we have sung today, that God's name will be praised and honored. It is here that hearts will bow humbly to worship God. It is here that men's lives will be strengthened, that women will learn what it takes to be good wives and good mothers, and all of the things that are a part of being God's children, and all of the aspects of the work and service that God has given us to do, as ordained in His holy and divine word and will. That's what we dedicate this building to, as a tool to help to edify and to strengthen the saints of Almighty God. And then we also dedicate this building to be used in benevolence work. People will come to know the compassion of Christ by first experiencing our compassion for their plight. The world is full of hatred and violence and struggle. Somewhere people need to see the love of God. The congregation here can be a beacon of light, showing forth the pity and the mercy and the compassion of Almighty God through their own hearts and through their own lives. And in this way, many will be led to Christ. Thus, we have stated briefly the purpose for this new building. It is dedicated to the high aim of helping the people of God carry out His work and will upon the earth. We will need God's help. We will need to work together, and we will need to remind ourselves of this purpose from time to time. But if we go in the strength of God, we will accomplish this God-given task. And so I say today, this solemn charge, wear yourselves out in the service of your King. And if you wear this building out in the process, that's just fine. We'll build another one. I want to turn your attention at this particular time to a passage of Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 8. The passage is in verse 61. In order to be able to understand the context of this particular passage, we have to know a few things that will help us. The first I want to do then is establish some of the background points. And then I want to make three points in particular in regards to verse 61. In 1 Kings chapter 8, we have a written record of the dedication of the temple. Now today, of course, we know that the dedication of the temple at this particular time under King Solomon was different than a dedication like we have today. The fact of the matter is that during that particular time, in terms of all of the details, there were a lot of things that went on. It was a time of celebration. It was a time of worship. Literally hundreds of thousands of animals were sacrificed on this occasion as the outpouring of God's people in their hearts made this day a grand and glorious one. But in regards to the principles of this day, there are many similarities. There was a speech bringing God's word into view and focusing on the relationship of God to his people. And there was a lengthy prayer, and there was a closing exhortation, and then there was a celebration. In regards to the principles, I want to focus on one thing, the closing exhortation that was given by King Solomon himself and written in God's inspired word. Today we read it together. Solomon said, "Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." Today we need this exhortation burned deeply within our hearts and within our minds. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Now there are some things that we need to understand in terms of this particular passage that I want to leave you with today. The first one is the singleness of purpose that it enjoins upon us. Oneness with God's will. If this congregation or any congregation of God's people is going to be successful, it is only going to be successful when the will of every single individual member becomes one with the will of Almighty God, so that the two are the same in purpose, in intent, in every way, that we might be able to walk according to God's holy will. In that way, we will be able to walk the path of righteousness that leads to an eternal life. We know this world is not our home. There's no edifice that man can erect that has any permanency to it. But the people of God possess the spirituality, the quality of which is eternality. And so it is that we can stand together, walk together with God, and live together with him one day in eternity. And so it is that I enjoin upon you in this exhortation that you would all have the same mind, the same purpose, that there would be a singleness of purpose to accomplish God's will in your life. We have to take this collectively, and we also have to take it individually. And so no congregation can be any stronger than the weakest member that it has. And so all of us need to commit ourselves this day. On this dedication day, we dedicate ourselves to God. The second thing that I want to mention is the fact that this enjoins upon us purity, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God. The idea of perfection is completeness, so that in every way we match the very character and nature of God. Peter enjoins upon us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." Therefore, in every way, we want to imitate Christ, and we want to transform our lives into his image, that we might be able to show the world that there is a better way than what they have chosen. And that way is Christianity, the way that leads unto life eternal. The third thing that I want to mention from this passage of Scripture is the idea of perfection or completeness. We go on to perfection in Christ, Christian maturity, and here is where we strive for excellence in all of the things that we do. No matter what area of service it is, you might be cleaning the building. You might be doing things that some individuals think to be rather small things. There isn't anything we do for the Lord that's a small thing. Jesus said that if a person gives a cup of cold water in his name, that he will not lose his reward. And so we generously give a cup of cold water. And we generously enlist our talents, our abilities, in the cause, the greatest cause on the face of this earth, which is the cause of Jesus Christ. And so we go on unto perfection, to completeness. And so grow, learn, develop in every way that you possibly can. That's part of this exhortation. To let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments. There are individuals today who are shunning the idea of obedience and the idea of adherence to God's law. I want you to know that God's grace and God's law are not mutually exclusive. That means that it's possible for us to walk hand in hand with God, and the only way that we can accomplish that is through obedience. You know, Jesus prayed in the prayer that he left as an example for his disciples. He prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is not until men in their hearts purpose to yield fully to the divine will of Almighty God that that prayer would ever be accomplished. When the will of God is done on earth, then we have the kingdom of heaven. We have the kingdom of God in that person's heart as God rules there and reigns there, supreme and Lord of lords and King of kings. Those are the things that are a part of this exhortation: the singleness of purpose, purity, and perfection. You have equipped yourselves this day with another means to accomplish the commands of God, to evangelize, edify, and help those in need. Today your work is not finished, it has only begun. Let your heart be perfect with the Lord our God. Repent of besetting sins, and there may be some. And this is where each and every individual needs to thoroughly go through introspection and examine themselves before Almighty God to know this day that if you are not right with your God, you need to change. You need to repent and humble yourself before him and do the things that God would have you to do. And then there may be those who would need to renew their commitment to the will of God. You know, God does not tolerate lukewarmness. He does not tolerate those who are lazy and slothful. He wants us to be active and zealous and to love him and to show the fervency of our love and the things that we do to serve him each and every day. So if you need to renew your commitment to God's will, do so. Maybe you've become neglectful in terms of your attendance or your love for God or your love for your fellow man, or for your brothers and sisters in Christ. If there are things that you need to do to recommit your life, this is the time to do it. You may need also in your life to resolve to walk with God every day. There may be those who need to commit themselves to God and have not taken the first step of obedience. You need to come, having heard the word of God and believing in that word with all of your heart, desiring to be right with God in every way, repenting of the things you've done wrong and confessing before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and in being buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. Complying with God's will, we receive all of the promises and blessings of God as he makes us one of his own. As we undergo that new birth, we become a new creature to walk in newness of life. Today, it may be that this day of dedication is a day of new beginning for you. where you dedicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, commit yourself fully to Him, and obey His word. Or that you recommit your life to Him in some way. And so whatever you need to do in order to walk the pathway of righteousness that leads to an eternal home, to make your will one with the will of Almighty God, we hope that you will hasten and do that today. We're going to stand and sing number 684 as a song of invitation. And we encourage you through these words of exhortation to come to Jesus today. Won't you come while we stand and we sing?
If you are tired of the load of your sin, then Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, then Jesus come into your heart.
Conclude our service for this evening, or this afternoon. We'll conclude our evening service. And do we have any of our people who were unable to be here this morning, were hindered, and want to take the Lord's Supper? Why, hold up your hand if you're sitting in where you can't get out. I don't believe there's anyone. I believe there is, too. Brother Junior, would you be seated, please, just for a few minutes?
This being the Lord's Day, we're told in the Bible that we're surrounded the table, remembrance of our Lord and Savior and that great sacrifice that he gave, that if we obey, our sins can be taken away. For the one who could not be here this morning, we will allow him this time to do so. If you'll bow with me right now, we'll try to put worldly thoughts out of our mind, and we'll go to God in prayer, thanking him for the bread. Father in heaven, we bow before you, thanking you, Father, for your Son and our Savior. We thank you, Father, for the blessing that we have, that knowing that if we obey through this great sacrifice that Jesus gave, our sins can be forgiven. We thank you, Father, for this bread, ask your blessing upon it and upon the one who is about to partake it, praying that we can truly remember Jesus' body that was broken for us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we are taking the fruit of the vine, remembering Jesus' blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. I ask Brother Delbert if he would to offer thanks for this.
Loving Father, we continue our thanks for the fruit of the vine, which represents the shed blood of Christ. We thank the Father for the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And we ask you, Father, to bless the one that takes of it. May his mind be back to the scene on Calvary and Jesus shed his precious blood for our sins. This we ask in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. I'm tempted off to murmur, to grumble and complain. But when I think of Jesus and what he bore for me, then I cry to the Rock of Ages.
Hide thou me,
hide thou me,
O
blessed Rock of Ages.
Hide
thou me, there is no other refuge,
only thee.
Sometimes I'm weary,
sad and blue,
so sad and blue.
Sometimes
faint hopes
be dim my view,
then I cry to
Blessed Rock of Ages,
hide thou me.
Rock of Ages,
hide thou me.
I have a friend in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. I feel his presence ever when stormy billows roll.
And when I think of Jesus and what he bore for me, then I cry to the Rock of Ages,
hide thou me.
Rock of Ages, hide thou me. Oh, Rock,
blessed Rock of Ages,
hide thou me.
Hide thou me.
Oh, blessed Rock.
Blessed Rock of Ages,
hide thou me.
Hide thou me.
Sad and blue.
So sad and blue.
Sometimes
rock of ages,
I tell me,
rock of ages, I tell me. Oh, rock of ages,
I tell me,
I tell me.
Oh, blessed rock,
blessed rock of ages,
I tell me,
I tell me. Refuge only thee.
Sometimes
I'm weary,
sad and blue,
so sad and blue.
Sometimes
vain hopes be dim my view. Then I cry to the rock,
blessed
rock of ages,
hide thou me,
rock of ages, hide thou me.
Somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died.